brought to you by Penguin. The Silence in Between by Josie Ferguson, read by Rosina Eichner. Prologue. Lisette. Now, Berlin, 12th of August 1961. Any parent who says they don't have a favorite child is a liar. As Axel finally falls asleep in my arms, a bubble of milk resting on his upper lip, a tidal wave of love washes over me. I never had this with Ellie, not on the day she was born or on any day in the 15 years since. Yet even the gripping guilt I feel at this fact is insignificant in comparison to the sensation swelling in my chest. What I feel for Axel is bigger than me, bigger than all of us. For a moment I let myself believe it is so big it will eclipse everything else, including the past and all that I've done. I kiss his soft, feathery hair and stroke the red pinpricks in the crook of his arm where they've taken blood. He's so little, he shouldn't have already experienced pain. I clutch him a little closer, and I vow to take care of him, to love him, to be better. I can't fail at this again. A man pushes the door open with his shoulder, his arms full of folders, a stethoscope around his neck. The rim of a styrofoam cup is gripped between his teeth. He drops the folders on the cluttered desk and drains the last of his coffee before sitting down opposite me. "I'm sorry you've had to wait for so long," he says, opening one of the files and sifting through the papers. A single sheet escapes and flutters to the floor. He reaches down to grab it with a liver-speckled hand and bumps his head in the process. "Right, right, where were we?" he says, rubbing his bald patch where I imagine a wheel is already forming. "Yes, Frau Hartmann and Frank."
"Lange."
"What?" "Frau Lange and Axel." I keep my voice to a whisper, but the man doesn't seem to notice that Axel is asleep in my arms, doesn't understand it's taken me hours to get him to stop crying. "Right, right, let me just, yes, here they are." He extracts a page from one of the folders and holds it under the desk lamp, squinting at the handwriting. Gently I shift Axel's weight from one arm to the other and rub my gritty eyes. The room is blurry and the lamp seems to sway as if we're on a ship. I can feel a dampness between my legs, the blood leaking out of me, staining my skirt. "I'm afraid we are going to need to run a few more tests," he says. "But we've been here for..." I have no idea how long we've been here. From the fading light outside the window, I know the day is already dying, but I don't know what time it is, or even what day. "We have a backlog, I'm afraid, but it doesn't look as though we need to be too worried. I just want to do a few extra tests, just to be sure."
"To be sure of what?"
"That it's not something more serious. Your baby's oxygen level isn't quite what we'd like it to be. You were right to bring him in. I suspect it might be to do with his heart."
"His heart?" A sob heaves in my chest, taking us both by surprise. Axel stirs in his sleep, and I jump to my feet so I can rock him once more.
"Is he going to be okay?"
I can hear my voice crack. I clear my throat and try again.
"He's going to be okay, isn't he?" "Oh, yes, I have no doubt. He's how old? 3 weeks?"
"5.
"Well, there you go. If it were something more serious, he wouldn't have made it this far."
I ignore the urge to push this man's folder to the floor and stamp on them. Instead, I start pacing in front of the window, rocking and jiggling, rocking and jiggling. The movement like a physical mantra.
"Right," he says, shuffling his papers.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?